In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Well, today is a very special day for seven of my friends. We were ordained 41 years ago on the 15th of September, the Feast of the Sorrows of Mary. I tell you, these 41 years have been a blessing. Oh, it's not always up. It's been up and down, but I know one thing. Jesus is faithful. He is faithful when I'm up, and he is faithful when I'm down. And that Jesus gave me this broadcast 36 years ago. Oh, yes. We've been on the radio for 36 years, preaching the Word of God, preaching the power of the Holy Spirit. This is because I'm a priest. I know that if I wasn't a priest, this could never have happened, because the people really look to the priest for the Word of God. So I ask you to pray for me today and for my six classmates, that they and I would persevere in the truth in Jesus Christ and what the church teaches. So pray for us today. Make that your prayer intention. I'm looking at Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. So they're preparing the way for the Lord Jesus to come. And what are they going to do? Are they just going to be singing songs? No, no. They're going to prepare the way of Jesus. The harvest is plentiful. That's true today. But the laborers are few. And I'll tell you, not every laborer is a laborer. You are called to be a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. God calls you to be a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Not only the priests, but you and me. Oh, yes, it was a young man that brought me to Jesus. Oh, yes, I knew Jesus as a child, but I didn't know him as an adult. A young man brought me to Jesus and brought Jesus to me. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Maybe the Lord's calling you to be a laborer and a priest into the harvest of the Lord. Maybe he's calling you and you say, I don't deserve it, or I'm too weak. Listen, listen, if there's anyone weak, it's me. If anyone doesn't deserve it, it's me. It's all a gift. It's a gift of God. For 41 years he's been with me. For 41 years as a priest he's been with me, in my ups and in my downs. Oh yes, people say, how can you keep on preaching every day? Because I preach Jesus in him crucified and raised from the dead. Oh yes, I preach Jesus. Yesterday was the feast of the cross. No one can out-preach the cross, I'll tell you. No sermon, no man, no woman can out-preach the cross. It is the love of God for us. It is God's love for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in the Son will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world or to condemn you, but that the world and you would be saved through him. Oh, yes. If you're experiencing condemnation, it's coming from hell. It is not coming from God. God does not condemn. God convicts us of our sin so that we can go to confession and confess our sins. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. What does the wolf want? Lamb chops. Oh, yes. Like lambs in the midst of wolves. Innocent little people. To bring the kingdom of God to the people. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandal. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, say first, peace to this house and to everyone is there who shares in peace. Your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. I tell you, in the early church, there were different people that weren't prophets that would go from house to house getting money from them. See, Jesus said, stay with that one house. Stay with that one house. Eat what they prepare before you. Say peace to this house. And as you say peace to this house, the peace of God will rest upon it. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Listen to this. Cure the sick. You are called to cure the sick. Priests are called to cure the sick. Who are there? And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Remember the woman, the Syrophoenician woman? She said, even the crumbs off the table I'll eat. Oh, yes. Jesus said, the children's food is healing and deliverance, but he gives to this woman the healing of her daughter because she had great faith. The children's food, healing and deliverance. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. We're going to go on to the 17th verse. The 72 returned with joy. With joy. I remember this young man who started a religious order, and now he's not so young, would come back to the people and say, I prayed with someone, and they were healed of cancer. Oh, yes, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. Do you know that the Lord has given the church authority over sicknesses, over the devil? Do you know that the Lord has given you authority over sicknesses and over the devil? And I'm going to tell you, if you don't use the authority, you'll lose it. Yes, you say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy either. But Jesus calls us to do these things. Remember, he said, don't take a bag or money with you, because Jesus is enough to depend upon him. Let's continue. And nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Is your name written in heaven? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Your name is written in heaven. That's the greatest thing that God gives us. Is there a book in heaven? The scripture says there is. And I praise you, Jesus, that our names are written in heaven, because we have surrendered to you. Oh, yes, there are many people who love Jesus but have not surrendered. We need to surrender to Jesus everything, our spirits, our souls, our bodies, our memories, everything needs to be surrendered to Jesus. Verse 21, at that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. So, yes, this is true now, too, that God has revealed this, the kingdom of God, to the little ones, to you and to me. I'm not a little body, but I am a little person in the sight of God. And God has revealed this to us, and we are to use it with the authority he's given us. You have authority. You have authority. God has given you authority. What do you do with it? Use it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. My friend who's Portuguese one day said to the Lord, what you gave Father Tom in healing, I want it too. And Val got it. He calls people in Portugal and they are healed over the phone. Oh, yes. He realized that God was giving him the same thing he gave me, and maybe more. But you see, he thought in his heart, what you gave Father Tom, you can give me too. And that's exactly true, if you want it. But then you have to be responsible for what he's given you. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What does that mean, anyone chooses to reveal him? There's a sheet over our eyes, and God takes the sheet off our eyes and reveals the Father. I tell you, this is real. This is real. Have you experienced the Son? Have you experienced the Father? Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said to them privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it. To hear what you hear, but did not hear it. That's Moses. That's Isaiah. That's Ezekiel. They longed to see the day of the Lord, but they didn't see it. We see it. He has come. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose from the dead. Chapter 10, verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. Oh, but listen now. He's going to ask another question. But wanting to justify himself, I tell you, when we want to justify ourselves, we're in trouble. Jesus has justified us through the blood that he shed for us on the cross. I was justified by the blood of Jesus. You were justified by the blood of Jesus. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. You know, that was a hard place for criminals to be, from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, who beat him, and who went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Passed by. He didn't care for this person. He had things to do. Maybe he needed to say his prayers. I tell you, we need to be able to help the man on the street. Let me tell you the story about the man on the street. You cannot be powerful in the Word of God and in the name of Jesus unless you know you're the man on the street that has been beaten and you wait for Jesus to come and pick you up. I remember in the seminary, I had been a deacon, and there was a little boy I prayed with in the hospital who had appendix problems. And I went back the next day and asked for Joey. They said he was dismissed. He didn't have appendix. And I said to myself, well, thank God I prayed with him. Thank God I prayed with him. I said this to a group of students, and they said, who are you to say a thing like that? I said, I'm the man on the street with the Good Samaritan. I'm the person that needs Jesus to pick me up. That's who I am. And he comes and picks us up. Maybe you're the person on the street today. Jesus wants to come and pick you up. He wants to come and bless you. He wants to come and do something great for you. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, and they were considered to be dogs, but a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. They didn't even say the Samaritan. They wouldn't even say that with their mouth. The one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Again, maybe you're the man on the street and you're waiting for Jesus to come and pick you up. I remember one day I was having the hardest time and I said the most important prayer, Jesus, help. I remember. And as I was calling for help, the Lord brought me in the Spirit to the throne of heaven for a second, and all my hurt stopped. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I cried the greatest prayer that could be cried, Lord, help. Oh, yes, and he came. And he brought me to the throne of heaven. I didn't see anything, but I knew where I was. How did you know? I knew that I knew where I was. Verse 38. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Yeah, she was making chicken soup, and she's getting upset. I'm doing all this work myself. My sister Mary is by the feet of Jesus. Jesus, go and ask her to help me. So she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to come and help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. But you know, Martha was no slouch. I tell you, when Lazarus died, Jesus said, "Do you believe?" She said, "I believe that you are the Son of God, come into the world to save us." Martha said the same thing that Peter said, "I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who has come to save us." Do you believe in the Messiah? He's come, and he's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Have you sat at the feet of the Master today in prayer? Have you gone to pray in the name of Jesus? Have you spent time with the Lord today? Or are you just saying, you know, I've got a lot to do? I remember a certain bishop who, when he had a lot to do, doubled his time of prayer. Not canceled prayer, but doubled it, because he knew that he needed the guidance of the Lord. This is real. This is real. Chapter 11. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come.'" And on Matthew it says, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Oh yes, that is the will of God, that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And what happens in heaven? No one is sick. No one is needy. No one is poor. How we need to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We pray that prayer every day, but I don't think we think about it, that the kingdom would come and that the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. What the church needs now is to be drenched in the presence of God, in the presence of heaven. Oh, yes, that's what we need now. That's what we need now. That's what you need now. That's what I need now. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Do not bring us to the time of trial. We're all going to enter into trials. And I want you to know that Jesus is with you. It doesn't feel that way, but it's true. He's with you. He's been with me for these 41 years. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but he said, "I shall never leave you, nor shall I ever desert you. I have come down from heaven to do the will of the Father, and it is the will of the Father that no one that he's given me shall be lost." No one shall be lost. Do you belong to Jesus today? Are you in his hands today? He says, "No one can snatch you out of my hands." I tell you, Jesus is wonderful. He is more wonderful than I could ever imagine. He is wonderful. He is wonderful toward you, toward me, toward us. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You might be the man in the middle of the street. You feel beaten. Call on Jesus. Come, pick me up, and send your healing power upon me. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.